Enjoy the film.
You want butter on your popcorn?
The theater will be ready in a second.
Do you guys remember when we used to work in a theater?
In a what?
In a theater. We worked in the Cineplex.
No, that wasn't us. That was, wait, hold on. I'm remembering pirates. I see cheese balls. I see an orchard. I see ghosts. I see Lacey. Oh, I remember Lacey.
Yeah, all those things were at the theater, believe it or not.
Wow. The theater, you say? I don't remember treading the boards, though.
No, not that kind of theater.
I remember Pickle Hero.
Yes.
That played there.
There we go.
Non-stop.
And I remember a lady poking my eye out.
Wow, that's going way back.
Yeah, right through the hole.
Well, goodness. Well, I'm sure that eventually we'll start getting people coming back into the theater. I mean, we've only just started advertising for our tourist destination.
Mm-hmm.
This town being a tourist destination, we just started advertising, so we'll get some people coming in, I'm sure. And when they start coming in, they'll want to be seeing movies because they'll get tired of the beach.
I mean, I haven't yet.
It's still a novelty for us.
That's true. You have been catching those rays.
Yep. Yeah, I just go out there and I just catch stingrays for fun. I mean,
yeah,
have a lot of fun.
You got to start letting those go.
I say keep them.
I mean, as far as I know, I mean, they're unique to this area.
They seem to be able to survive in goo.
I mean, we were landlocked for the longest time.
Yeah, where did they come from?
We got goo, and now there's stingrays.
That seems to be the only aquatic life, too.
So I have to catch them.
You have to. I mean, what else do you? What else?
For documentation purposes, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I could be famous one day. You don't know.
You could be a famous botanist. Henry the Famous Botanist, they'll call you. Wait, botanist? Why would you be a marine biologist?
You're the one who said it. Yeah. So.
I know, and I said it rather emphatically. I was very matter of fact about it too.
You're very confident.
Wow. I really haven't been in the theater for a while.
You've been away from the theater so long you've forgotten what a botanist is.
Yes. How could I forget what a botanist is? We have so many. Soda shops and botanists, those are the things.
But yeah, it does feel like the theater might just kind of naturally start going again. You know, just because the rest of the town is kind of back up and running. Like we've said before, all the shops seem mm-hmm. to be functioning. I'm sure it's only a matter of time before clones of our former coworkers just start doing the old job they did.
Yeah. Now, here's something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least something that's coming out of my mouth right now. When does a clone become the person? At what point would their clones be considered them?
I mean, I'm considering all the clones at this point, just the people I used to know, since everyone else is missing, and they're all talking and acting pretty normal. I mean, they all sound, like we've mentioned, like this. Like the
Leon,
this
yes.
and how. I can't mm-hmm. do the voice.
That was pretty close.
They all sound, yeah, they all sound like that lovey.
Yeah. But that's really the only discernible, I don't even know if that's the right word. That's the only thing that differentiates them from the people we used to know. The town is fully repopulated.
This isn't a word podcast, okay? This isn't a word podcast.
Sorry.
It's the other than that, they act exactly the same. You're right.
So I figure we just treat it like the town is back to normal and just move forward from there.
Mm-hmm. So, Kyle.
Yeah.
Your clone.
Yeah.
Has been doing a very good job picking up garbage around town.
Yes. I didn't teach him to do that. I didn't tell him to do that. I think it's a hobby.
He just started doing that?
Yeah. Well,
what the hell?
He's not like picking it up and disposing of it. He's just sort of collecting it, gathering it, bringing it back
to my
apartment.
Home?
Yeah, which isn't ideal.
Well.
But at least he's getting out and he's doing something, you know.
Hey, there you
day.
Go. He's getting out of the house. Mm-hmm.
But it's quickly becoming an issue.
Well, yeah, you don't have much space in your apartment.
I don't have much space. The smell is pretty overwhelming at this point, and my landlord came to me and was like, "Now see here, Kyle, you gotta clean up this trash." They're also
garbage.
I will say that about the clones. They're all kind of snooty.
Yeah, they're like.
I don't like when they call me Lovey.
Yeah.
Or yes. Doll. All right. That irks me.
Mm-hmm. Or Skipper.
That one's all right.
Yeah, actually.
that one's kind of fun. That one's a pretty fun one. It's like someone calling you Sport. Hey, yeah. Sport.
Or Champ.
Yeah, yeah. A term of endearment to some degree.
Or Boss. Or Pal.
Chum.
Mate.
Buddy.
Handsome.
Have they been calling you handsome?
Yeah, have the clones been calling you handsome?
No.
Oh, Henry.
But it'd be cool if they did.
Yeah. We can hope.
Yeah, that'll be the day.
Greg, you mentioned we started advertising. We have started advertising for our tourism business, which we don't really have up and running yet, but we've decided to start getting the word out just to get people interested.
Yeah, to get people, to get the buzz out there, to get people excited.
Yeah, we're like, coming soon. Maybe.
Maybe.
Spooky spectacles.
Yep. Spooky spectacles in... what did we call it? We called it...
We said coming soon, ..
Spooky spectacles.
Mm-hmm.
In... .. And that's it.
You know, you gotta excite the people. Give them something, you know?
Yeah.
Keep them wanting more.
Wanting more, yes.
So we've started putting up those posters around town, which, I mean, the people who live here probably won't be our main customers since they won't be the tourists, but at some point we'll have to figure out how to advertise beyond the boundary of Timberdale.
Beyond
the boundaries. You know, maybe when we hit land eventually, we'll be able to get some
right,
more
tourists. Right, because we are floating down a current.
Yeah, there's an idea. Yeah, yeah.
We're floating... Yeah, we're floating on goo down somewhere.
Yeah, I guess we should wait until our island stops moving so that we can direct people to the correct location. Because right now, that's changing by the day.
Should we start manipulating the direction of the island? Do you is that something we should do? Is that an idea?
I don't know. I feel like we're just flowing downhill.
Yeah, man. Goo with the flu, that's what I always say.
You do say that, and it is very great that it is now an apt
like a fine wine, my friend.
Yes, it is finally relevant to our situation.
We finally popped
except for that one time that I got the flu. It was pretty accurate then too.
True, and you were
yes indeed
quite
yes
gooey.
Indeed you you were it was gross. You were not handsome then. No clown would call you handsome.
But so I guess we've started our business. We haven't done any of the important like foundational things of like structuring our business plan, figuring out what we're gonna show,
coming up with the money, the schedule,
right?
The manpower,
messenger pigeons. Is that something?
You keep suggesting messenger pigeons. I don't see
I already
how it
wrote it on the whiteboard.
Yeah.
I wrote it there.
Thank you.
It's there.
You.
It's on the
I underlined
list.
It because you said it again.
Did you wipe down
It is a whiteboard.
What are you trying to say?
Down? Did I wipe it down? You want me to take it off the board?
No, hold on. So wipe that down and then take this and then take this down on there.
I'm not gonna
messenger
this
pigeons?
Is all over
it's
idea.
Already on
it's
the board.
On there.
Hold on, let me finish. Messenger pigeons who send our invites.
Oh, you're thinking we give them the posters and send them out?
Yeah, give them the posters. Send them out there.
Okay, I'll put a second underline under it and an asterisk. And we'll put a pin in that.
Yeah,
we'll know
we
what
go.
That means.
Yeah. So I guess we'll start really getting down to the nitty-gritty in the coming week. But that's the update on our business. So keep an eye out for a poster if you're around Timberdale, or for a pigeon, I guess, if you're outside of Timberdale.
Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes open for pigeons. If you see a pigeon, run at it.
Flag it down.
Yeah.
Flag a pigeon down.
Grab it.
Get an invite.
Jump on it.
And come out to see us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we start the podcast?
Sure.
Well, I think we already did.
I think we're well and on our way.
I was thinking the main part of the podcast where we do that thing we promised.
Oh,
to do.
We do other things.
Oh, right. Did you start recording?
Yes, I'm recording. Have you been recording?
Have I been recording?
Yeah.
You do that.
Why would I be recording?
That's right. We're all in the same room. Sorry.
We're all in the same room and you hit record.
We're all in the same room.
My mistake. Well, welcome to Break Room at the Cineplex. My name is Kyle McClinsky.
My name is Greg Basil.
I'm Henry Harrison.
And this week we watched a movie that was sent to us by a listener.
Yes, we did.
Oh, well, ain't that something?
This comes to us from Claire, who previously sent us a ton of tons, I want to say.
Claire.
Claire slid DMs again.
Claire, you sorry son of a, you've done it again, haven't you?
I'm going to read the DM.
She's slippery and slid right in there, hey?
That's why they call her Slippery Claire.
That's why they call her that.
Here we go. Hi, my favorite crime-solving team. I wanted to recommend one of my favorite movies of all time and see what y'all thought of it. It's called Gooey Love, a perfect mix of slasher film and one of the greatest love stories of all time. I remember seeing the trailer and thinking, what? Quentin Tarantino is making an adaptation of a Nicholas Sparks book? It did not disappoint. I got the OMG, that's so much blood feelings from any good Tarantino film, with the heartwarming, ah, they are so in love feelings one gets from watching something like The Notebook.
Aww.
I truly think that this was Danny DeVito's best role he has ever played. I hope you enjoy it. Yours truly, especially you, Kyle, kissy face.
Kissy face.
And Claire did send a brief follow-up that says, I wrote crime solving, I meant mystery solving, LOL. And I'm kind of offended that, Claire, you don't think we could solve a crime.
I mean, show us the crime and we'll solve it. Okay, Claire?
I think this is an egregious crime against us.
And we're going to solve it right now. Claire, the butler did it.
Claire the butler?
Claire the butler.
No,
not Claire the listener.
It's Slippery Claire, remember?
Yeah, Slippery Claire's butler, Claire, did it.
So why don't you stop looking at us, Claire, and start looking, take a closer look at your butler next time there's a crime.
And pay your butler more. And why do you have a butler? Can't you do your, can't you button your own buckles?
what do butlers do? Yeah.
What do? They buttle? My rebuttal? Pay your butler better.
Yeah, Claire.
Bastard.
All right. But, so we're not an advice podcast, though.
No, we're
but
not.
Pay your butler more.
This is not an advice podcast. This is not a butler podcast.
No.
It's not a word
podcast either.
We're going to review Slippery Claire's movie.
Oh, right. We did watch Gooey Love.
Gooey Love by Quentin Tarantino
directed adaptation of a Nicholas Sparks novel starring Danny DeVito. Just like it, like picture The Notebook, but instead of Ryan Gosling, it is Danny DeVito.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be fair, that in itself is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason that movie works is because he's handsome.
He is very handsome.
There is that element kind of throughout this film where I'm like, if this was an actor other than Danny DeVito, not that he didn't do a good job.
Did a wonderful job.
But if this was an actor other than Danny DeVito, these things would probably be seen as more romantic than they come off in this film.
Like the term, like, I'll wait for you forever, you know, it's like, it can be sweet or it could be creepy. I mean, it just depends who's saying it.
Imagine Ryan Gosling whispering that in your ear. It's like, whew. I'm a little flustered. Imagine Danny DeVito growling that at you from outside your window.
I'll wait for you forever.
It takes on a different vibe.
Who was the female lead in The Notebook?
That was
Rachel McAdams.
Rachel McAdams.
You knew that right off the top of your head.
Well, look at you.
What can I say? I'm McAdamant about knowing names.
Now, you brought Rachel McAdams up because she is also the romantic lead in this film.
Yeah, she's also the romantic lead in this one.
Danny DeVito.
And I got to tell you, the chemistry that I saw on camera is that which would rival the works of some chemist.
Well, it's funny you mentioned chemistry because while it is Rachel McAdams and it is Danny DeVito, who are both adults in this film, they're doing that thing where they're playing high school students and they meet in chemistry class.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say off the bat, I buy Rachel McAdams more as a high school student than I do Danny DeVito in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, so I guess here, yeah, we could just jump right into it, I guess, before we give anything away too much. Yeah. I guess we should just start from the beginning.
Scene by scene.
A very good place to start.
So we have the sweeping shot of the high school front of the school,
and it
kind of sweeps up the stairs like it's a tracking shot, and we get all these different students weaving in and out, you know, hustle and bustle of everyday life.
Yeah, this cool rock music. This song is playing. It was some punk rock something from the 70s.
Right. Quentin Tarantino is known for his soundtrack choices, the songs he chooses, which are very specific and often, you know, don't quite fit the time period, but yeah, it's a very catchy tune. It establishes a really cool vibe right off the bat.
Right. It's Bon Jovi living on a prayer.
It's living on a prayer.
Whoa, living on a prayer. Take my hand and I cannot bend. No. And it's the end of the year. And this is why we're living on a prayer. Because they're seeing that the end of the year, what's the end of the year dance? Prom is coming up.
Prom is coming up, and all the students are excited. We kind of sweep through the school, and we see everyone's like clearing out their locker. People are throwing paper airplanes. You know, no one's.
There's
no
side
one's,
conversations going on.
Side conversations.
Like, oh, who are you going to prom with?
And the dialogue is all tight and witty and clever, and it's got that sort of rat-a-tat that Quentin Tarantino is known for.
Mm-hmm. It sounded a little something like this.
Oh no.
Hey, you know what? Have you ever heard of tuxedos with tails?
Tell me about it.
Well, it's this thing that they used to do. They were tuxedos, but they had tails.
I haven't heard a tail like that since my cat had one a tail.
and then we what sweep kind of for to another have? Conversation. And there's Danny DeVito in a Letterman jacket, and closing his locker.
Yeah, he's clearly
got a football in his hand.
The cool kid of school. He's a jock, and he's surrounded by all these muscular. I mean, let's be honest, like 20-something guys who are playing, you know, 17-year-olds. But they're all twice his height.
Yeah. Which is funny because when he's talking to them and they do the over-the-shoulder shot, he's the same height. They apple-boxed him. Real hard.
Yeah, they basically put the equivalent of a second Danny DeVito underneath him. But then in the wide shots, you know, they can't hide the boxes, so he's suddenly his normal height again.
They're
talking about how he's, you know, how great of a year he's had. They're like, you carried us to the championship, and we won.
And you went to homecoming with the hottest girl in school, who is not
Rachel
who
McAdams.
Who we think it is.
No.
It's not Rachel McAdams.
And so
I forgot her name again, honestly.
And so Danny, whose character name is Danny in this as well, because that's a cool teenage name.
That is a cool teenage name.
He's
that's
like,
what we said that, didn't we? We said that.
They were like, you called him Danny, and I was like, that is a cool high school name.
And then I turned to you and said, that is a cool teenage name. Henry?
It's fine. So the bell rings.
You hate that name. What is it about that name that you hate?
Okay. We don't need to get into this right now.
Come on,
we can talk about Danny anytime, any day, but not
listen
not
to the
here.
We don't
not
have time
now.
For
okay.
one of Henry's classic Danny rants.
Danny rants.
Oh, Danny boy. Okay. Oh. So the bell rings and Danny's like, "Ah, I gotta go to chemistry," and they're like, "Man, just skip." He's like, "Nah, if I skip, I'm gonna fail." All right, this is the last class.
All
I gotta
right, Danny,
go.
Don't you get too smart now. And he punches one of them in the arm, and then he uppercuts one.
He's like, "Hey, your mother's a whore," and they all laugh. they're joking around, calling they're each other around. Smothers, hooers.
Yeah,
and
it's high school.
He heads off to chemistry.
When he enters the classroom, the class has already started, and he's running late, and so the teacher at the front,
like, Mr. Talenston, you're late again. You're lucky it's the end of the year. You're lucky I don't want to see you in summer school either. Sit down.
So he sits down, and he sits next to McAdams,
Claire.
Rachel
Claire.
McAdams.
It's Claire.
It's
That's
Claire.
Her name.
That's her
I
name
I see why
movie.
This is your favorite movie.
Claire. You sorry so-and-so. So she's there, and she's kind of, you know, meek, and she kind of has this body language and demeanor that says, I want to be invisible, please. I'm an awkward teenager.
And right out, as she's looking all kind of bashful, you hear from the front of the classroom, you hear, all right, Claire, you and Danny team up because you're the only two without a lab partner. I'm assigning you all new lab partners on this, the last day of school, for your final.
And Danny pipes up. He's like, oh, I can't be with her. She's a nobody. And the teacher's like, sorry, should have been here on time.
And so we already know where this is going. You know, this is going to be two people who you don't think are going to get together falling in love. And that is what we get. But with the...
It is,
know,
it is along those lines. Yeah. But something else happens in chemistry other than a little chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, everybody pull out their chemistry kits. And they all pull out what's below.
They all pull out these plastic briefcases and unclip them. Open them up.
And it's just, when they open it up, it's just beakers that are already foaming. And
already
then,
foaming.
And different vibrant colors.
Some of those electric discs that have the static electricity going around.
There's a Bunsen burner already lit.
Yeah, Bunsen burner. Yeah, it's all of this stuff. And so they all put on their safety goggles, and the teacher's at the front, and he's going on some lecture, and he's like,
now if you take the chemical and you put the and you put pouring and burning down, and he's just going on.
I think he was having a stroke.
Danny's not paying attention. Danny's not paying attention to the fact that the teacher's having a stroke. So Claire, she kind of jumps up and she's like, oh my god, somebody do something. She lunges forward. Their chemistry, Danny and Claire's chemistry set falls, hits the ground. Danny goes, ah shit, and the teacher stumbles forward, knocking his chemistry briefcase down.
Right.
That one falls. And then all the kids, ah! And the chemistry that comes from the briefcases, they meet.
Yes. The contents of all of these beakers spill into one big puddle on the floor.
Right as the teacher collapses and lands in the pool of combined chemistry sets. And he starts to writhe around on the ground.
He starts screaming. His skin is bubbling and boiling.
And he's screaming, oh God, don't let me die.
And all the kids rush out of the classroom. They're like, we gotta go get help.
We're out of here.
We're done. It's the last day of school. I'm not dealing with this.
The bell
and they
rings
start to
and
leave.
Out.
And Danny's on the way out when he stops and he looks back and he sees that Claire's the only one who has stayed. And she's looking at the teacher trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, she's kind of running back and forth. Like, I don't know what to do.
Do I
know what
throw
to do.
Water on it? I don't.
Are these acids? Are these bases? What do I throw on this? A blanket? I don't know.
We were just starting the lecture. I wasn't paying attention.
she's flipping through the textbook trying to find the...
And Danny, this is the first time we see Danny has a conscience. You know, he might be more than sort of the tough guy jock that we all, I think, see Danny DeVito as.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he absolutely is.
So he turns and he's like, I can't leave her here, you know, alone with the teacher.
He says aloud to himself.
Yeah. And so he goes back into the classroom and they got to figure out what to do. But the teacher's dead at this point.
The teacher is dead. And so Danny and Claire, they sit down. And they're sitting there, and Danny's like,
okay, so we've got to figure out what to do with the body. Have you ever hidden a body before? You're a smart girl. Have you ever hidden a body before?
They're going to blame this on us. You know that.
We're in this together now.
And just then, the security guard of the school ducks in the classroom, and he was like, hey, I saw a bunch of kids running out of this classroom. I heard a lot of screaming. What's going on? He gets through this entire description of what he saw before spotting the body. But when he does, he's taken aback.
And he says, did you do this? Is this you? And they're like, no, 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 we swear, we swear. He's like, I don't believe you. You're coming down to the station with me. The security station, the little check-in right. before you.
The office, the administration.
And so they follow him. McAdams, Claire jumps over the big puddle with the rotting body. Mm-hmm. And Danny also jumps over, but Danny DeVito is he's shorter than the average bear. And his foot lands in the puddle, and he's like, oh, shit. Kind of shakes it off. Mm-hmm. Not enough, though. Like, he's leaving a little trail as he's walking. He's leaving a little trail of whatever this puddle is. Cut to the security office,
mm-hmm.
which is just the front office.
Right.
And they're sitting there, and Claire kind of looks at him and is like, hey, did you got something on your foot? And Danny looks down, and it's crawling up his leg. Like, something is growing.
Yeah, some
and
sort
crawling
of
up his leg.
Parasite. So he kind of like kicks it off, and it slithers out under the door. And mm-hmm. we get this kind of camera shot going back through the school, and we see where his footprint has left all these kind of little puddles of this chemical substance. It travels all the way back to the chemistry room and lands close on the dead teacher's melted face, and his eyes open, and they're pure dun, white. Dun.
And right at that moment, the school bell rings, mm-hmm. and the security guard's like, well, all right, you guys are free to go. I don't have anything, you know. It's enjoy your summer, kids. All right.
I'm not staying late to do the paperwork on this. We'll go get the body later. And kids,
I've got a motorcycle needs working on.
And kids flood the hallways out of these classrooms. And we already know the hallway has been contaminated with these little puddles of this goo. And so we see a couple kids as everyone's filtering out, a couple of them like lean down and touch it, and they're like, what is this?
One kid licks it and they taste
one kid
it.
Licks it, it goes into his mouth and he starts to convulse. Another kid sniffs it and it shoots up his nose and he starts to convulse. And we see that this is some sort of infectious it's turning these people into mm-hmm. these almost undead creatures.
And this is also the scene where we get that classic Tarantino cameo, mm-hmm. where he's on the ground convulsing.
He's one of the students.
Well, I can't wait to go home and do kid stuff during the summer. Hey, what's this?
That's what he sounds like.
Yeah. And so Danny and Claire, they don't know that this is going on yet. They're like, all right, let's get out of here. Claire's like, I got my bike here. And Danny's like, hey, I got a car. I got a sweet hot rod, you know, because I'm cool. I'm the cool kid in school. Let me drive you home. It's the least I can do for almost leaving you alone with the corpse of
with
our teacher.
With a dead corpse. And she says, thanks. I appreciate that. Do you have a bike rack? It's okay. I'll just leave it locked here. I'll get it some other time then. And so they get into the car, mm-hmm. and there's kind of like a little awkward silence as they're driving.
Sure.
And Danny breaks the silence and he's like, so have you ever been in trouble before?
And she says, nothing.
So, not much of a talker, huh? Are you one of those smart,
And for 5 minutes, there's silence.
The ice, very much unbroken.
The ice is solid.
Very thick.
So she gets out of the car, mm. and he like looks back. He's like, man, what a weird girl. And he starts to drive off. And at this moment, we kind of get this like scuttling in the bushes next to her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, whoa, what is that? And we can see Danny driving away. He looks in his rear-view mirror, and he sees the rustling too. And then something jump out mm. at Claire.
and pull Claire back into the bushes.
And so he speeds, he turns back around, screech. He's like, well, let me check this out. So he screech. That's the sound. And
he fishtails it. He does a sweet donut real quick.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Fucking
U-turn.
Awesome. And he jumps out. He runs over to the bush and he gets to the bush and there is the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And not saying anything, kind of has this kind of noise coming out of him. He's got his mouth agape, and he's got this look of I don't know, pain. It almost seemed like,
kind of sounds like Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah. He's like, Zuzu's petals, building alone.
And he's got his arms wrapped around Claire, who is screaming and thrashing and trying to escape.
Mm-hmm.
So Danny just stomps on the teacher's head.
Yeah.
And it squishes like an old melon.
Like an old melon.
This is some of that classic like Quentin Tarantino gore, and it's definitely like they definitely had a physical prop made of this teacher's mm-hmm. head.
Seemed like an old melon.
Yeah. An old melon with a face drawn on it.
An old melon that they put on, they drew a face on.
They put a wig.
They just drew a smiley face on it.
But even so.
Close, so you yeah, really have to be
exactly.
Looking.
Even that it's so, like, you can tell it's fake, but it still hits you in that, like, ooh, kind of. Yeah. It makes you a little squeamish.
Yeah.
So he stomps the teacher's head. He shakes the seeds off of his shoe, the various watermelon seeds.
And he says, gross. Did you see that?
I crushed his melon.
And Claire's like, do you realize who that was? That was our chemistry teacher.
And Danny's like, double homicide, huh? And she's like, no, don't you know what this means? And he's like, double jeopardy. I can't get tried, right? And she's like, no, you listen, he was dead earlier and now he's back. Like, don't you understand this? There's something weird going on here. He's like,
now you want to hold a conversation?
So now you want to talk. She's like, look, some weird stuff is going on here. The teacher, he was dead before, and now he's not dead. Do you not find that weird? Come on, Danny. I'm finding my own voice now. And because I was just pulled into a bush by a zombie.
And this is where Danny starts to kind of fall in love with her. I mean,
yeah, he looks at her and he's like,
she whips her hair back and is like making mm-hmm. a point.
He's like, well, all right. Looks like the bookworm's a looker. And she's like, did you not hear anything I just said?
Something bad is going on and we're here on this deserted road. I mean, next to my house, but it's the only house on the road. This is
in the deep backwoods country. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Danny's like, that's all right. We can get in my car and we can get out of here. Hops in the car, tries to start it, and he's like, ah, that's right. I forgot to fill the tank. And the battery's dead.
And
also,
the starter.
My alternator. Yeah, is
there's a problem with the starter.
And three of my four tires are flat.
And he turns the key, and every light on the dash lights up.
He's like, I really got to take care of this. This vehicle better.
Well, you know, that's why they call it a hot rod, all right? And then
she's
like,
now is not the time for jokes.
And she's like, I left my bike at the school. We need to go get my bike so we can get places. I mean, it's just through these woods, all right? Mm-hmm. We just need to get through these woods.
And the sun is setting. And don't forget that prom is tonight.
Oh, geez.
Just as a note.
And Danny's like, I never forget. You know, I always go to these things alone, but I always end up with somebody at the end.
You know what I mean?
And she's like, not
no,
at all.
I don't. No, stop being gross, all right? Let's go.
Let's get back to the school. There'll be a lot of people there. That's where we'll be safe.
So they start hoofing it.
Mm-hmm. Danny goes into the trunk of his car, and he pulls out a baseball bat, because I think he plays all the sports. You know,
yeah, he's just kind of a jack of all trade, a
he's
jock
rifling
of all
through
trade.
Like lacrosse hey. Sticks, golf clubs, and then he settles on a baseball bat.
Yeah,
he's got a sledgehammer.
He's just going
in there
over. Hmm.
He's got a machete, a pitchfork,
a gun,
and he's just like, old trusty baseball bat.
Baseball bat, old Wonder Boy,
which is what they call me. And so, they start walking down this long highway surrounded by these deep, dark woods.
Mm-hmm.
And the sun is starting to set.
And
they start to talk a little bit.
Yeah, they start to talk. And Claire has a little shiver. And Danny's like, oh, are you cold? Do you want to wear my jacket? And she's like, oh, thanks. That'd be great. So there's a nice little tender moment where she takes his jacket and she puts it on. And she's like, you know, I never would have dreamed that somebody like you would be talking to me. He's like, I know, right? It's kind of strange. If my friends saw me talking to you, they'd beat me up and they'd call my mother a whore and they'd kill me. They would kill me.
I have the best friends.
They're so great. We're gonna join a fraternity.
And so we kind of get this panning shot. Maybe it's on a crane. I don't know. It's lifting up as they head down this long and lonely road.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of cut. Definitely a passage of time. It's pretty much dark now. And they can see kind of over the next hill sort of the flashing lights of the prom. They're like, almost to your bike, which we guess we need to get me home, says Danny. Because you were already home, but...
Honestly, we could have just walked to my house, which was, you know, about the same distance, but in the opposite direction. We probably could have walked, but you know, we needed to get your bike, so I guess, and I would have felt weird not walking with you.
And Claire interrupts him and goes, "Danny, look!" And they can see there are a bunch of people out wandering around on the lawn, and she's like, "Look, they're all so drunk." All of our classmates are just—they're
just all so stumbling around
and listening to them at the moaning. Mouth, and they get closer, and Danny sees two of his buddies, and he's like, "Hey, Chester, Lawrence, see you got your gals there. Why don't you help us over here with a bike? We're gonna I don't know why we'd pick it up, but hey, why don't you help us with the bike anyway?" And so they kind of turn towards them, and they start. Like, it's obvious. Okay, look, it's obvious to us that they are zombified. They are zombies, but still, Danny is. Their eyes are white.
One of them is missing their jaw entirely.
Yes, and Danny's like, "Wow, you two don't look that good. I guess you guys are partying a bit too hard, hey?"
Yeah, save some of that partying for me.
Save some party for the rest of us. If you remember that party, you weren't there.
Hey, ooh, I'm Danny, and so Claire's
I hate that line.
I'm Danny.
It's the worst line in the whole movie.
Claire grabs his hand and squeezes it, and she's like, "Danny, I think something's wrong here." And he's like, "Oh, you're holding my hand," and he's clearly touched by this, and he's not listening to her. Is the point?
He gets lost in her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
In your eyes.
We get kind of a slow-mo shot of her speaking. Yeah, and this song playing.
And we can't hear what she's saying, but she's clearly frantic and borderline hysterical. Tears are starting to stream down her face. She's pointing. She's pulling on his arm to try to get him to move, and then we cut back to his perspective. He's like,
We gotta go.
Dead in your eyes.
Your eyes.
And eventually she pulls him out of his stupor. And they start to rush, and the music cuts out, and we just get these groaning, like people stumbling toward them. And Danny
looks over, and he's like, "Oh shit, not today, zombies!" And he takes out his bat, and we get this really cool, like classic Tarantino. We get this really cool montage of Danny just destroying some zombies.
And there's like one really cool shot that I remember where they were just kind of moving through the crowd, one like fluid shot, and he's kind of defending Claire, just kind of swinging around her, smashing zombies' melons.
Like just a one continuous melon smash.
Exactly. No, it was super cool. And then and he's like, "We let's get to the
Smashing
sports
Pumpkins
closet."
Was playing during that, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was
and
the
not
song
the
that
song you'd think.
Nope.
No.
So they get to the sports closet.
So they get to the sports closet
the sports
where they have
closet.
All the equipment. And Danny's like, "All right, I'm gonna stick with the old Wonder Boy, but you should grab something to defend yourself." So Claire ends up grabbing a javelin, you know, like you would use for track and field.
And Danny's like, hold on, bookworm, do you know how to use that? And she chucks the javelin, and it goes, I don't know, it sticks into the wall.
Pretty far, yeah.
Danny seemed impressed, though. Danny was like, wow, hey.
In your eyes.
and at this point, Danny starts saying some weird things.
He takes this moment to start to hit on her.
Yeah.
Pretty aggressively.
Hey, you know, I don't normally say this to girls, but you're great. You're pretty hot. You like the way that you handle that javelin, it's doing it for me, all right?
We get this the two shot of them at level, and then we cut to wide, and Danny's she's towering over him. I mean,
right. But we need to get this wide shot because the camera starts dollying back, and we see that zombies are now approaching where they are.
Yeah, kind of a comedic shot, classic Tarantino.
And so, as he's talking, Claire is hardly making eye contact with him. He is locked on her, and she's looking around frantically. Like, that's great.
She's
that's great.
We spearing through the.
This is
the,
not the time to
the
place
fence.
The melons.
Yeah, zombies are attacking, and she's defending them off single-handedly. But she's like, all right, we got to get out of here. So they rush out, and they end up on the field, the sports field. And they're running across, and they got probably half a dozen zombies after them. And just as Claire and Danny are getting ready to fight them off, the sprinklers turn on the field. And they start to wash the hazardous chemicals off of the zombies, and they start to return to normal. And Danny's like, look.
Hey, look. Hey. It's working. And Claire's like, oh my God.
I was right. Earlier when I said, should I throw some water on it? I should have gone with my first intuition. You told me not to.
You
Holy
just.
Holy shit. Thinking about it right now, she didn't just throw it at the wall. She threw it at the, she threw the javelin at the sprinkler system.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't just throw the javelin at the wall.
Claire was thinking ahead. And putting a plan into motion that Danny wasn't even privy to.
Way to go, bookworm.
But she's like, all right, so here's what we need to do. Since my theory is correct that water seems to cure them, we got to get inside to where the dance is happening, get to the central sprinkler system, and turn it on to stop these zombies at the source, or else they're going to spread throughout the town.
He says to her, man, you certainly do look beautiful in the moonlight. And she's like, just come on, just come on.
Like, I'll wait for you forever.
And she just, at this point, she just scoops Danny DeVito up, puts him on her back, because it's faster this way. He's got short legs. Like,
yeah.
So she's rushing, she's spearing zombies as they get closer to the school, and they're the ones that haven't been hit by the water. Mm-hmm.
And he's smashing them with baseball bat.
And they burst into the gymnasium where the prom is being held, and they stop because it is packed to the walls with moaning, grooving zombies.
Right.
They're grooving to the beats of... The Cure.
And not the one, not the song you would think.
No.
Not the one you're thinking. So they're playing this stuff, which is perfect. It's ironic. It's quirky. It's Quentin Tarantino. Mm. So they're all in there, Danny's like, hey, save me the slow dance. And Claire points across the gymnasium to the sprinkler system. And she's like, we have to get all the way over there through all these zombies. Now, my javelin is broken. We can't use my javelin anymore.
It broke off in a zombie.
It broke off in a zombie. And so now all we have is the bat. We need to get to the other side of the gymnasium. And Danny's like, oh, I got this. And he actually, like, surprisingly, I was thinking that he was just going to go headlong into all these zombies and do another big, huge melon smash.
Right.
But instead, he actually climbs up a ladder.
So he's eye level with Rachel McAdams now.
and he looks at her and he says, Claire, I just want to let you know that if I don't get back if I don't make it out of this, if we don't make it, well, if I don't make it out of this and you don't make it out of this, so if we don't make it out of this, I just want to let you know. And he kisses her.
Mm-hmm. He got up to that height just so he could kiss her full on the
just
mouth.
Just so he could kiss her straight up on the mouth. And she seemed tentative.
She's tentative, but she lets it happen.
I don't know.
And the Cure is playing, and
it struck a very strange. It had a weird vibe.
It's a weird thing where you're like,
it made us feel weird.
If this was Ryan Gosling or
I'd let it happen.
Almost any other.
Right. Totally.
Hollywood actor.
Anybody. And so anyway, Danny DeVito, he climbs all the way up the ladder, and he shimmies his way. Like he monkey bars his way. I don't know, the chandeliers. They had chandeliers there.
They had streamers.
They had balloons.
They were
the streamers. He was swinging
chandeliers.
His way. He gets to the other side, but then he realizes, wait a second. There's no other ladder. So he just lets go. He lets go and he falls and he lands straight on a big pile of melons. He's like, the zombies broke my fall.
And he crushes a bunch of zombies beneath him. And he climbs up and he's covered in blood and melon juice.
And viscera.
And he...
melon rinds.
He takes his bat and he just smashes the valve for the sprinkler system.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, all the sprinklers turn on and water just starts raining down. And the music changes to Stairway to Heaven, a classic slow dance end of prom song.
There's a lady who knows if this door's out or closed.
It goes into slow motion. And people start, as the goo and the chemicals are washed off of them, they start to wake up. Their eyes, you know, get pupils and irises again. They stop being pure white. And as they're all coming to, people start screaming because there's also a bunch of now dead people that Danny DeVito crushed.
Underneath Danny DeVito, yes.
Yeah, and he's still covered in blood and gore.
Oh, no.
The security guard comes back in.
Yeah.
He rides in on a hog, a motorcycle. And he says, you're in big trouble. I told you if I caught you ever again. And he's like,
you murdered so many people.
All those people outside as well, were those you? And Danny looks across the gymnasium and through the crowd you can see Rachel McAdams, who's kind of hit with this specific spotlight. And, you know, Danny, you feel like he's about to say, she did it too. But then he's like, it was all me.
It was just me, Wonder Boy.
Old Wonder Boy.
And the security guard grabs his shoulder. There goes your scholarships.
Ha, say goodbye to your summer, kid. And he brings him to jail.
Yeah, we fade out and we fade back in, and he's in a prison. He's in the orange prison jumpsuit. And he sits down in front of the little window. It's this classic visitation window deal. Picks up the phone, and then we get reverse shot. It's Claire.
Yep.
And she picks up the phone, and she's like, you remember what you said? And he's like, when? What time? I say a lot of things. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And she says, I'll wait for you.
Forever.
I'll wait for you forever. And he says, oh, did I say that? Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And then that Sting song starts playing, every breath you take.
Every breath you take.
And she puts her hand on the glass.
Every move I make.
And he puts his hand on the glass.
Every step you take, every breath you make, I'll be
watching you.
And we get this this slow pan or slow zoom on each of their faces and the love in their eyes,
and then a melon explodes.
and that's and it cut to Cut to end credits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut to end credits.
Directed by Quentin Tarantino. And that was Gooey Love.
Gooey
yes,
Love.
It was. Gooey Love.
And golly, it was gooey.
So this movie didn't quite follow the exact same premise of the Nicholas Sparks novel. As you could probably guess, the more violent aspects were added in by Quentin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think the original story was more sort of your classic boy meets girl, jock, and nerdy girl.
Mm-hmm.
They meet, car breaks down, they go for a long walk.
Zombies
they end up
happen.
Back at the, no, see, I think the zombies were left out entirely.
Oh, so this was really just a adaptation.
It's just a book about prom?
It's a book about, basically, ugh. I think the idea is that they fall in love on this walk back to school to go
please.
To prom together. They end up at prom together. They didn't intend to go to prom together, but by the time they get there, they've fallen for each other. And
yawn.
All right. Nice job,
Snore.
Quentin.
So Quentin was just like, what if we take that same premise and then just put a bunch of
and
fucking
kick
zombies
it up a notch.
It. Yeah, and a guy bashing in heads with a bat.
They didn't even end up going to prom together.
No.
One of them went to jail.
They just ended up they just ended up at prom together.
Right. But they do fall in love by the end, and Rachel McAdams says she'll wait for Danny to serve his three consecutive life sentences.
I don't think he's without parole.
Yeah.
If it takes forever, I will wait for you.
It was a pretty somber song for the credits.
Yeah. It still had that sort of like punchy Quentin Tarantino font and the style, but then that song over it, which is... But that's what he's known for, just sort of eclectic soundtracks. He knows what he wants, and he gets it.
We started with some Bon Jovi.
Foot stuff.
And we got to there.
Got to that.
Should we get to ratings?
Seems logical.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm down if I may.
You always may.
Thank you. I will give this one a 7. I'll give this a nice 7. It was good. Mm-hmm. I liked it. Danny DeVito kind of creeped me out with the kissing Rachel McAdams. That was a little weird.
He put his entire mouth around her mouth.
Now, I've seen Danny DeVito kiss in other movies. He's not that weird.
Right. No, it seemed like... Okay, so it seemed like... It felt like he was trying to be like a Dementor from Harry Potter. Like, suck the life out of her or something.
Yeah, I don't know if this was a direction he was given of like...
Really, really milk
was,
it. Really.
Was that the first take or did it take a few to get that?
Was that the best take?
If that was the best take, oof. They sat in that kiss for a while.
Mm-hmm.
8 out of 10.
Ooh, 8 out of 10.
Eight
so you liked
out of
a little 10. Bit more than Greg did?
One more.
I would probably give this one a 6 out of 10. I liked it 1 less than Greg, 2 less than Henry. Because it felt like two films that were kind of smashed together. And the more I hear about it, the more it really seems like that's what it is. It's a zombie story just tacked on top of a very straightforward romantic comedy story.
Yeah.
They felt off. I mean, there was something weird, but something oddly worked for it, too. I don't know.
Right, because there's the sort of idea of like a bond through a shared trauma. You know,
right.
This sort of... They both experience this.
Yeah.
And it brings them together.
Definitely.
Two people you wouldn't expect to get together. Because clearly, Danny DeVito is too cool for Rachel McAdams.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so much cooler. I mean, his hair all slicked back and the sunglasses. Mm-hmm.
Thinning on top, his hair.
Yeah.
And the Letterman jacket.
And when he took off his Letterman jacket and he had all those tattoos.
Yeah.
And not what where
cool
you think.
Not tattoos of what you think.
But so that was Gooey Love.
Yeah.
Gooey Love. There it is.
Thank you, Claire, for sending that our direction.
Thank you, Slippery Claire.
You done it again, you slippery son of a...
If you would like to submit a film like Claire did, you can reach out via email at cineplexpodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at cineplexpodcast. Just slide it at DMs.
Just slide it at DMs.
We'll review your movie. All right, well, we should... get to planning the actual steps we're going to take towards turning this.
Yeah, I could put another underline under carrier pigeons.
thing into a
business. Yeah, let's put an underline under carrier pigeons, and if you wouldn't mind wiping that off and then writing it again.
Oh, this isn't a dry erase marker.
That's a permanent marker?
Yeah. No, it doesn't wipe.
Well, I guess carrier pigeons are locked in.
Well, there we go.
We got our business plan.
Pigeons, babies. Keep your eyes open, folks. Pigeons coming your way.
Thanks for listening.
And good night.
Stay safe.
And good night.
Stay safe.
And good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.